Tonight, I asked the Lord to show me something because it's a new year. And what year is it? 2020. I heard Ray talking earlier, and I can relate to what he was saying. You know, he doesn't have the same eyesight he used to. He has difficulty seeing and navigating sometimes. And we sometimes take our eyesight for granted. And, you know, our eyesight is basically the ability to see. And how well we see depends upon our retina and all the other masterful things that God created in these eyes. And I started doing some research. 75% of people in the world have to wear some type of corrective lens, corrective glasses. 75%. I was shocked. And I said, Lord, what's the title? What's the title for tonight's message? It says, year we're living in. 2020. You know, 2020 they consider perfect vision. Actually, 2015 is better than 2020. But 2015 is gone. 2020. Because see, you know, sometimes when you go to that chart and the doctor says, oh yeah, you got 2020 vision. Well, that top number on the chart is the distance from the chart. They usually move you back 20 feet from the chart and then ask you to read the numbers. Okay? The bottom number is the distance at which normal eyesight can read the chart. So if you have 20/20, that means 20 feet from the chart, and you can read the same letters that most of the people that have corrective sight or glasses or contact lens or whatever can read. I said, Lord, why 2020? He said, everyone knows about correcting our natural vision. But the Lord wants to correct our spiritual vision. He wants to give us greater insight into our lives and into this year. And He wants to give us better spiritual vision. And Pastor Bill, Pastor Mark have always taught this. Go back and look at first time something's mentioned in the scriptures. And we all know we have an enemy, correct? And that enemy doesn't want us to see the things that God has for us or the things that God wants us to do. He's always hindering that spiritual vision. Well, let's go back where it started. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. We all know this story. Eve and the serpents having a conversation. Starting in verse 5. It says, for God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Three things here. One, she was lied to, and she was told to question God. And a lot of times, spiritually, our eyesight gets distorted because someone will challenge us to question what? You know, does God really say that? Does God really want you to do that? But here, she saw the tree was good for food. Then it said it was pleasant to the eyes. The word pleasant there means longing of one's heart. She really wanted to be able to see what God had for them. And he enticed her. And then the tree that was to be desired. Well, that tree wasn't to be desired, was it? That tree was to be abstained for. But spiritually, she had lost her spiritual eyesight to see the lie. As soon as that came in, she lost that spiritual eyesight. There was a darkness. There was a darkness that was there. And I remember I was probably 17 years of age. And you know, when you have natural eyesight, like I said earlier, a lot of times we take it for granted. I was working at a cousin's gas station. I was 17 years of age, going to be 18. And I got hit in my right eye with a wheel weight that you use to balance tires, spin balance tires. And it ended up causing a retinal detachment. But within seconds after that little wheel weight hit me in the eye, everything started to get dark in my right eye. It just started to get dark. And it got to a point where within 3 hours, I could look down at my wristwatch, but I couldn't read it. It was blurry. And it was my right eye, so I'd cover my left eye just to see. Well, when that retina, the back part of the eye, was tearing, my ability and my vision became darker and darker and darker. And that's one of the things we're going to kind of take a look at tonight, because, you know, that can happen to us spiritually too. You know, we can start to get cloudiness. We get all these symptoms in the natural. You know, we need to get our eyes checked. We get all these symptoms. We get cloudiness. You know, that's not as clear as it used to be. But do we ask ourselves those same questions in the spiritual realm? Are we still looking at things the way we used to? Are we looking at things the way God wants us to look to? Are we becoming spiritual? Well, we can become spiritually blind, but we can become almost like spiritual. We can also become Christians with spiritual cataracts. And I don't know how the Lord is going to speak to each and every one of you or speak to me, but he wants to reveal some things to us in the spiritual realm this year. Not just Pastor Mark, every one of us. He wants to show us things in the spiritual realm. But before we look at some scriptures tonight, I want you to go to Luke chapter 24. I want to take a look at a situation that occurred here. We all know this story. Jesus was on the road to Emmaus. And there was two people that were talking to him. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. I want to stop right there. Their eyes were opened. And I found it interesting because I've looked at this passage of Scripture many times before. But we can't forget what it says in verse 30. What just occurred in verse 30? He just had communion with them. They had just had communion with Jesus. Just had communion. And see, when we're in communion and we have communion with our Lord Jesus Christ, He will begin to open our eyes. And what did it say there? They knew Him. As we spend time in communion with the Lord, not only will our spiritual eyes be open, but we'll begin to know Him more and more and more. Let's read on. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked to us by the way? And while He opened to us the Scriptures? See, when we commune and spend time with Jesus, He begins to open the Scriptures. He begins to allow us to see what the Word is saying. Have you ever been around someone that's been in the presence of the Lord for a little period of time, communing with Him, and they're on fire? Well, they said something burned within them. You can't spend time in the presence of Jesus and commune with Him without your eyes being open and without the Scriptures being opened. They become clearer. You see things in the Scripture you never saw before. Then I'm going to move over to verse 43. It says, and he took... Well, let's start in 41. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. That's what he said over in verse 27. He's reminding them of the previous conversation. Look what happens in verse 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Our spiritual eyesight improves by communing with the Lord. And as we commune with the Lord, we get to know the Lord. He opens the Word that we're reading, that we're studying. He opens that so we can see spiritually what He's trying to show us. And not only that, He'll give you and I the understanding of the things He wants to show us. That's pretty exciting. But He wants to do more of that. But we have a problem. We have a problem in the world in which we live. And the problem is, go over to 1 John. And we're exhorted in 1 John chapter 2. Starting in verse 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. See, those are three areas that we all have to deal with in order to maintain our spiritual eyesight. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And anyone who's been around marketing knows everything that's done in marketing is touching one of those three areas. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We are being bombarded every single day to try to desensitize and cause a blindness to come over our spiritual eyes to get us off track, to get us off course, to get us off focus, and to get us not looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We all battle this. We all battle it. I'm teaching tonight, and I made some mistakes today. My eyes were not where they should have been. And as a result of it, it caused some difficult situations for other people that should not have happened. My spiritual eyes would have showed me, no, don't do that. But I didn't look at the situation through my spiritual eyes. I didn't look at it through God's eyes. I looked at it through these two eyes. And these two eyes will mess up. They will make errors, and I made some errors. Now, go to Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 22 and 23. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? I said at the start that in order for us to be able to see clearly, we have pupils, we have eyelids that control the amount of light that comes in. We also control the amount of the light that comes into our spiritual eyes. By what we see, what we allow to come in to our spiritual eyes. But it says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body should be full of light. I said, Lord, we have two eyes. Why are you using single here? Why are you using single rather than... Well, we can have two eyes and still be one eye single focused. Our focus needs to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our focus needs to be on the things that the Lord is showing us. Because it says, if therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. If our spiritual eyes are focused on Jesus, what is Jesus? He's the light of the world. You can't get any more light than Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. So if we're constantly focusing, our spiritual eyes are constantly focused on Jesus, are we going to be full of light or are we going to be full of darkness? When God created the world, He made heaven, He made light and He made darkness. He didn't make gray matter, He made light and darkness. Well, spiritually, our spiritual eyes, we're either walking in the light of God's Word or we're walking in that which leads to darkness. God doesn't want us going down that path of darkness. And I was looking at that, and the Lord goes, Flip back a page to chapter 5. And this is where it got interesting. Chapter 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The word pure means, the word pure there is those who are purified by fire, those who are cleansed by a pruning. But here's what I begin to see. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Do you know that there is a relationship between your spiritual eyes and my spiritual eyes in our heart? Blessed are the pure in heart. If our hearts are pure, and what is it the Holy Spirit is constantly wanting to do in your life and my life? What is He going after? What area is He going after to cleanse? Our hearts. Doesn't the Word of God say our heart is deceitfully wicked? David said, we were born in wickedness. Our heart is wicked. It's full of darkness. He says, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So guess what? When our hearts start to get clean and our hearts start to get pure, guess what? Our spiritual vision starts to get clearer. We start to see in the spiritual realm better than we ever have before. How many times have you gone on a fast and you come out of a fast because you've been spending time with the Lord, communing with the Lord, and all of a sudden you start seeing all these things in the Scripture that you never saw before. You start seeing people differently than you ever saw before because you're seeing through God's eyes. You can stay right there. I'm going to turn over to Psalm real quick. You can write the scripture down if you want. Psalm 101:3. This was an interesting scripture. Psalm 101:3 says, I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. He says, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. David understood the importance of having a perfect heart. But he also understood when he says in verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. The word wicked there was interesting. Worthless. David said, I will set nothing worthless before these eyes. We don't have a trouble guarding our hearts, but if there's a relationship between our heart and our spiritual eyes, Shouldn't we be watching what we allow these eyes to see? I remember when the children were in school here, and I forget who was on the field trip, but they went somewhere. They went over to Orlando somewhere, and they were at one of the places over there, and I think the children in there, and they were getting ready to show something, and Christine and whoever else was in charge of the group had everyone get up and go out. And you're going, you're taking away all the fun. No, they were protecting the spiritual eyes of those little children so they wouldn't see and hear what that was about to be presented to them. But see, the enemy is lying and deceiving many young children today because of entertainment. it's much easier to set a child down in front of an iPad or a TV and just let them watch cartoons or whatever else they want to watch. But see, we forget. We're born with two sets of eyes. Not just these two eyes. We have natural eyes and we have spiritual eyes. And we get a little lax protecting the spiritual eyes. In Proverbs 20:12, it says, the hearing ear, well, this is interesting what I just said. I hadn't even looked at 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Then he says right after that, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Our ability to see what the Lord is wanting to show us in the spiritual realm, and for us to be able to hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit, God has created that in each and every one of us. So we really don't have any excuses. Before you got baptized with the Holy Spirit, did you understand God's Word as well as after you got baptized with the Holy Spirit? No, there was something. There was an enlightening after you got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians. And we're going to see why that happens. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 9 it says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. See, there are spiritual things that only you and I will ever be able to see. Because one, we have the Spirit, we've been given the mind of Christ, but two, we have the Holy Spirit, the one who will reveal those things to us when God desires for them to be revealed. Pastor Mark was just looking at as a prime example of something I want to look at again tonight. And he's last time he taught, or a Wednesday night, I forget which one. I want you to go over to Acts chapter 9. Because there's a very, very good lesson in this conversion of Saul to Paul regarding spiritual eyesight. Very good example. Before Saul takes this trip, you think he's seeing things with his spiritual eyes or natural eyes? He's not seeing anything according to God's plans and purposes. But he has a little encounter. He has a little encounter, and we know this. And the Lord says to him in verse 4, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And then he says, And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and there shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, in verse 8, And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. He was blinded. He was blinded. You think that was by accident or on purpose? Doesn't say. But God doesn't make mistakes. He had to blind him so that when he opened his eyes, he didn't see any man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. He was there 3 days without sight. I know what that's like. I had patches on both eyes when I had a retinal detachment for weeks. They didn't want me to see light. God in His mercy allows the other senses to pick up. My hearing picked up and I was able to tell what nurse, what doctor, what family members were coming down the hallway by footsteps. You know, God doesn't want us to be spiritually blind. He doesn't want us to be blind in the natural. But there are things that occur that cause us to be blind in the natural and not have great vision. But that does not limit God's ability to lead us spiritually with spiritual eyes. He can still lead us. Ray, your steps are ordered by the Lord. He can direct every one of your steps spiritually. He can lead you exactly where you need to go. So then it says in verse 10, And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and said to him, the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. How did he speak to Ananias? He gave him spiritual eyes to see in a vision what he was wanting to get ready to do with Saul in a conversion. We have an example of Ananias being able to see in a vision with his spiritual eyes right here. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man. Okay. When Paul arose first time, he was blind. But now then, the Lord is saying to Ananias that this man he's praying and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him. The Lord gave Paul spiritual eyes to see that there was going to be a man come in and lay hands on him. So not only did Ananias was given spiritual eyes to see what the Lord wanted done to Saul, he was also giving Saul spiritual eyes to see what was about to happen. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man. Well, we know that. You know, I don't think any of us in here wouldn't have questioned, Lord, you really know what you're doing here? This guy's going about killing people. And I'm a Christian, and he doesn't like me. Verse 14, And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said in him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my namesake. Ananias went his way, entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou might receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. He was talking about his natural sight, but I believe he was also talking to Saul right there about a spiritual sight. Because not only did he receive his sight, but he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And as a result of being filled with the Holy Ghost, what happened? Immediately, there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Those scales, those cloudiness off his natural eyes allowed his spiritual eyes to see, one, the need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the second thing, he goes, I got to get baptized. That's just not natural. Those are spiritual things that just happened there to Saul. So the scales are removed, he receives his sight, he gets filled with the Holy Ghost, and now he knows he has to be baptized. Okay. So are we starting to get a picture of the importance of spiritual eyesight and how it relates to our heart? Because Paul was given spiritual eyes to see after he had what? He had his heart changed. He had a change of heart. He wasn't the same person. He had an encounter with Jesus. He had a heart change. I want to turn over to a passage of Scripture. Pastor Mark refers to this passage a lot. Go over to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, make mention of you in my prayers. Now, remember, who's speaking here in what I'm reading? This is the same one that just got converted over in Acts. He says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Enlightened. He wants to give us spiritual enlightening. So that our heart can be enhanced, so our heart can be cleansed, so our heart can be pure. And the word understanding there means give light to shine, render evident, make to see. He wants the eyes of our spiritual eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of the calling. God has a calling for every one of us. And every one of those callings is different. But through our spiritual eyesight, God can show us what that calling is and how to walk through it. And there are going to be days that that spiritual eyesight is going to be like, if I put these glasses on and they're really dirty, You can't see very well. Everything looks cloudy. Everything's hard to see. It's just not clear. It's just not a visual acuity in what you're looking at. But just like we can clean our glasses so we can see better, God can clean our heart so that we can spiritually see better. He doesn't want any of us to be spiritually blind. None of us. Go back to Acts. I'm going to look at some examples here. We looked at the one in Acts 9. Yeah, we already looked at that one. Go to Acts chapter 26. This is another account of Paul talking about his conversion. And there's something important in here. Same thing occurs. Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Starting in verse 16. But rise and stand upon thy feet. Now, the last time Jesus said, arise and stand on your feet, what happened? He went blind. He went blind. His natural eyes couldn't see. This time, he says, arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. He is now allowing his spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to see and hear what Jesus is speaking to him. He says, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Deliver me from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. And what is the reason and the purpose that he opened Saul, now Paul's spiritual eyes? So that he himself, and this is what Jesus said, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritances among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul's commission now was to remove the darkness from those he would come in contact. Same as you and I. Our lives spiritually pass by people that are in spiritual darkness. They're blind. But he said, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. God is light. Jesus is the light of the world. Satan is all about darkness. He does not want us to spiritually see or understanding any of the deep things of God. He'll lie to you. He'll deceive you. He'll lead you down a path that's not correct. Okay, Lord, let me see what that says before I say it. Psalm 19:8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. We have been taught, as long as I've been coming to this church since 1980, we have been taught to know what this book says. To know what God's Word says. Why is that? Because we have to have spiritual eyes. And our eyes get open to the things that are that are contrary, that are lies and deceptions, by knowing what this says. I've said this before. When I first got saved, a guy had spent years in prison. He was the meanest guy at Riker Island. No one liked him in Riker Island until he, and then he got saved and he used to go back in minister. And he told me, he asked me a question. He goes, "How many books do you have at home that loving Christian brothers and sisters have given you and told you need to read because you're a new Christian, new saint?" I said, "I got about 12 right now." He goes, "That's great. Hide them so you can't see them." I said, "What?" He goes, "I know." He goes, "That's probably not really good Christian advice." But he says, "Let me tell you something. The only book that you need to read from cover to cover, whether you understand it or not, you need to read from cover to cover the first 2 years of your life as a Christian is this book, and this book only. Because this book is the truth. This book will show you where you line up with the things of God." And then he goes, "And I was good at stealing money out of banks." And he goes, "You know how tellers are trained at a bank to know counterfeit? They're not giving fake money. They're giving real money. And it passes through their hands so many times that you put a fake $20 bill, $100 bill in their hand, a good teller can tell you that's fake." He says, "You cannot tell spiritually the counterfeit unless you know what the real is. And this is the real. This is the real. That's why our spiritual eyes should not be deceived if we've been spending time in this book, studying this book. Because God will show us whether something's true or not true." And then here's the counterfeit to that. We all have our opinions. People you're going to encounter have opinions. Especially when it comes to this book. I don't argue the Bible. I know too many people have tried to disprove this Bible who are now saved. You can't disprove this. Everything lines up with everything else. You cannot take 40 different authors and write on a subject and they will all be the same. It's impossible. That one really gets the smart people. You tell them, "Hey, take 40, take 39 other of your buddies and I'll give you a subject and I want you to all write on it and I want you to come up with 66 books on this particular subject, and bring it back to me." He goes, "That's stupid." I said, "Is it? Because that's what this is." So, the spiritual eyesight that God is wanting to do for 2020, and 2020 refers to eyesight. But there's a spiritual eyesight God wants to expound upon. And he wants to open our eyes to begin to see things in realms we haven't seen before. And I was finishing up at work and I said, "You know, Lord, I got to close with a pretty good example. I haven't looked at this book in a while." No, I'm not saying I haven't looked at the Bible in a while. I haven't looked at this particular book in the Bible for a while. He goes, "Go to 2 Kings chapter 6. I go, "Okay." We got story here about Elisha and the Syrians, starting in verse 8. "Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, 'In such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore, send ye thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are many, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. What was he asking to be done? He was asking, open this person's spiritual eyes so that you can see in the spiritual realm what's going on. God wants to do that with you and I in 2020. I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Then he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Here you have a man of God asking, open their eyes so they can see. When was the last time you were witness to someone and they couldn't understand? The Lord said, whenever you're witnessing or talking to someone and they can't understand, pray what Elisha said, Lord, open their eyes. Open their eyes so they can see. Their natural eyes cannot see what you're sharing with them. They can't see. They've been blinded. They're walking in darkness. They're blind. That's why he told Paul, I'm sending you to remove that darkness. Just like I removed those scales from your eyes. And when you opened your eyes, you could see. You could see spiritually. There's some that are entering 2020. You've got some spiritual calluses that need to be removed. There's areas of, well, what's the scripture say? We walk by faith, not by sight. In your walk with the Lord, Do we always know exactly where we're going? No. But we have to trust Him, don't we? We have to trust Him. Trust Him is faith. You all know I like acronyms. And you know what faith stands for is an acronym. F stands for Father. A stands for assurance. I stands for in. T stands for the. H stands for heart. When you have the Father's assurance in the heart, He will give you spiritual eyes and remove whatever darkness, whatever things that are in that way, and allow you to see what He wants you to see and allow you to see the path He wants you to take. No matter what we're going through, God has the answer. But see, when we're looking for the solution through our natural eyes, it's not going to happen. I was listening to a tape on the way down here by Carter Conlon. I'll share this and then I'll close. He said he was on a train from New Jersey into Manhattan. And the trains in New York, not all the seats are facing one direction. Sometimes you have passengers that are sitting right across from you. And he says, and when the seats are that way, they're pretty tight quarters. So he was sitting in this seat, and there was a lady sitting across from me, and then there was two gentlemen. And he says he's sitting there reading the paper because he didn't feel like talking to anyone that day. And he says he was prompted by the Holy Spirit. He says, put your paper down and tell that lady across from you everything's going to be okay. He goes, no, I'm not. He goes, she's 30-some years of age. These two guys sitting to me are going to laugh, make fun of me. And he just, he was having this conversation with the Lord. And he got the prompting again. He says, I told you to tell her everything's going to be okay. He goes, okay, Lord. So he says, excuse me, ma'am. I want to share something with you. And he goes, to kind of protect myself, I say, I'm a pastor. He says, I'm saying I'm a pastor. Maybe these two guys will take it easy on me. He goes, I'm a pastor, and I've been sitting here, and I don't know you, but I know that God loves you, and He wants me to tell you that everything's going to be okay. And she just started weeping. She just started crying and sobbing. And these two guys, they didn't say anything. They were just like, phew. And all of a sudden, he says, after she got composed, she said, thank you. I've got two small girls. I've just been diagnosed with cancer. And I was sitting in a seat, and I was saying, God, I need to know everything's going to be okay. He goes, God's opened his spiritual eyes to see this lady, opened his spiritual ears to hear what she needed to hear at that moment. And he goes, what do you say? He goes, why do we ever doubt God? We should go. He said, the only thing we should be saying is, thank you, Jesus. Because he spoke words of life. She needed to know that. She knew that when she got off that train, everything was going to be okay. Everything was going to be okay. If you got things that are going on in your life right now and it's not clear, say, Lord, open my eyes. Open my spiritual eyes so I can see. I can see what you have planned for me. I can see the path you have for me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we don't know how you're going to do it. We don't know the means in which you're going to do it. But Lord, you're wanting us to have our spiritual eyes, our spiritual vision improved and opened to see things and circumstances and situations through the spiritual eyes that you've given us. And then to operate as we see what you're showing us in the spiritual realm, to be obedient to the leading of your Holy Spirit to walk out that which you show us. And Lord, you just don't do things normal. You may tell us to do things that are not normal. Remember David Wilkerson sharing one time, Lord, he's having some financial situations, and he was trying to figure out which bank he was going to go to. And he says, you just spoke to him very softly and said, go buy some food and go feed the poor. He says he was obedient to do that, and he says he was never, ever, ever in financial trouble again. Because the scripture that the Lord gave him is, those who lend unto the poor lend unto the Lord. So Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for your spiritual leading. Thank you for the spiritual eyesight that you give us. We thank you for the spiritual ears that you give us. Lord, we just pray that you will cause us to be more sensitive to that still small voice. And you will allow, and we will allow you to open our eyes to see more clearly in the spiritual realm. And Lord, whatever cloudiness, whatever darkness we may have over our spiritual eyes, remove it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.